This time on Culture File, we're going to skip the bypass and follow instead the old road. You remember the old road? In the company of historian Joe Kerrigan. When Kerrigan began to stray from Ireland's smooth, straight roads, she found herself slowly moving through layers of the island's history, following lost paths, ancient walkways, disused tracks and abandoned canals, discovering along the trail a different way to feel the territory that wanders from the ancient cattle roads to long-lost railway branches. So this time we're going to take up the invitation in Joe Kerrigan's book title and follow the old road.
I'm Joe Kerrigan. I live with my husband, Richard Mills. I'm fortunate enough to be married to one of the world's great photographers, and I bully him constantly to get just the right shot for me. And I live out beyond Macroom in true West Cork. People think that by going by car and by getting there by the faster route, they're going to save 10 minutes. But what are they saving it for? Is this what life is all about? I said, it's what the slow food people have been advocating for a while. Slow down a bit and take it more easily. I've always loved green paths. You see one wandering off down round towards the coast, or you see one wandering over a hill. You see one going past those old ridge and furrow fields that were there from the famine times, way up a hill where no one could really ever grow anything. And I thought, oh, I must write a book about those. So I had Richard out getting pictures of all these places. And then I thought, that's not enough on its own. Where were they going and why were they going there? That's all I was thinking, why were they going that way? And then, of course, I saw they led down to the sea, into a little old pier somewhere, which had once been used for a lot of things. And then I saw the river and thought, well, they must have gone up river. And of course, once you thought about that, it seemed to make common sense that of course that's the way that you would travel and that's the way you would go. And of course, after that, then you started looking at canals, because you come across them, you're going up through the middle of Ireland following a river like the Shannon, and suddenly you see these wonderful little canals that went into it. And you thought, what must it have been like to leave Dublin in the 18th century and travel all the way across the middle of Ireland, seeing countryside and landscape you'd never seen in your life before. Up to then, you hadn't really gone outside your own area. Maybe for the horse, you could travel a small distance, or mostly you went on Shank's pony on foot. But this was a new way of travelling, so I thought, canals have got to go in here. They have definitely got to go in. And why were the canals built, and did they connect everywhere, and what did they carry? And turf. The turf boats that would go up, immortalising the stories of people like Patricia Lynch, of the turf barges that left the Midlands and would go up to Dublin and tie up very near where Guinness's brewery is and unload their turf for the city, and people going in the other direction. And I love the idea of that. We still have some railways in Ireland, but a meagre skeleton compared to what we did have. And oh, when we started looking at the railways, oh, the ones you find, I mean, the Sligo-Leitrim line. Who the heck has ever heard of the Sligo-Leitrim line? And yet it was the only cross-border one that continued right through to the, oh well, up to 1950s. I think it really couldn't go much beyond the war, because they couldn't get the coal to do it.
You may talk of Columbus a sailing.
And then, of course, the West Clare Railway. When you went down and looked for the West Clare Railway, made famous by Percy French, of course.
From Innes as far as Kilkee.
You drive along the coast there and you can still see bits of it, where it went across a little bridge or where it was on a causeway. And then you read an old writer like Sean O'Fallon, who travelled on it often when he was a travelling salesman. He couldn't make a living out of his writing, so he was a travelling salesman. And he said that about Innes, they used to reach in and throw great heavy weights into the carriages to hold them down when they were going along the coast. And then the coastal routes. Even in my father's day, he used to take packet boats around the coast of Ireland. He'd beg a journey on the deck and go down around Castletown Bay or down around the way, or anywhere he would take a boat to go. The Bantry to Castletown Beer Service, which ran for many years, which would take all the gentry down to look at the scenery and would take people coming up to do their shopping or to bring their goods up to Cork. Down there in the west, you see, up to then, they had to depend on something like the Butter Road, that's another one. But they had to depend on carrying their stuff to Cork on their backs. And now you had a boat that would take them up and down along the coast and take them then onto the train, which by then had reached Bantry. They all linked into each other, all of these things. When you look at it, even the word bohar itself, the word in Ireland for a road, bohar, bohar, the way the cow goes, the root of the cow. And that's where a lot of them started. Because the cattle, everyone would have had cattle from a fairly early stage. And the cattle would wander out to go and find their own grazing during the day and make their own way home at evening. And cattle know where to go. They know where the boggy, dangerous bits are. They know where the firm ground is. They will take a route around a big rock or around a tree or around something that's in their way. And they'll follow peacefully the way back that they need to go. And naturally, when people follow them or try to find where they'd gone, or took their route after them, it would grow into a road that bends, a road that curves. And that was the cow's way, the bohar. And it's our most basic word, the bohar and the boharin. People now say, you Americans sing about the boreen and the little rugged boreen far away. But it's the boreen, the little road, the smaller road. We had, I think, 12 different kinds of roads in old Ireland. You had the great road and the lesser road and the one, the bohar that took you here and the boreen that went through someone else's land and you might have to pay him something when you went through. We had so many different forms of roads and tracks. Now all we can say is either the motorway or it isn't the motorway. And sometimes if you're driving in some parts of Ireland where they're very, very twisting roads and you think, what? Why is this darn road going around this way? Because there was probably an obstacle in the way, or it skirts a dangerous bit of bogland. When they came to build the railways and the canals, they had an awful lot of trouble with the boglands, because of course the roads before them, the bohars, the cow roads, wouldn't have gone near the middle of the bog. They'd have gone round the outside edge, and there was a good reason for it. But of course we must be going ahead straight away, and we don't want to go around or veer away from anything. But it's worth knowing that that's the reason the roads are so bending and so curved. It's lovely to follow one, and even though you might swear as you have to twist the wheel to get round a corner, you'll know that old country road is a natural road. If you come across a dead straight road, you're looking at a modern road. We're getting more attention paid now than ever to things like stress and overstress and people losing resilience and mental health. Whereas if you went out into the countryside, wandered along an old bohareen that people have travelled for generations, and if you looked at what was growing and listened to the wind and discovered where houses had been and where people had lived and where people had moored boats or where people had managed to cross a river, you would be doing yourself more good than 101 sessions in a health centre, which you shave 10 minutes off your time to get there. You would be out there enjoying life and really living it.
Jo Kerrigan there with her suggestion to follow the old road, which is also the title of her most recent book, which, like her others, is available from the O'Brien Press.